This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed.
On the Live Feed, we present the Winona Municipal Band's centennial season. Tonight, we will feature the clarinet section in honor of Gladys Delano. We'll hear selections such as Russell Alexander's The Colossus of Columbia, Double Concerto, The Largo Movements for Clarinet by Johann Sebastian Bach, the Second Suite in F by Gustav Holst. Dr. Barr will give us the history of the most famous clarinet players in the Winona Municipal Band. We'll feature Lightning Fingers by Henry Fillmore and an original composition by clarinetist Ruth Burris entitled Clarinoodles. Of course, no Winona Municipal Band concert would be complete without a Sousa March, and we'll have just that with the Black Horse Troop. I'm Terry Tenseth, inviting you to a summertime tradition for 100 years, the Winona Municipal Band. You're listening to The Live Feed.
Welcome back to your Winona Municipal Band concert. Thank you for coming tonight. We'll start with a rousing march. The composer Russell Alexander spent most of his life as a solo euphonium player, and we do love our euphoniums. For those that don't know, euphonium is the proper name for a baritone, and sometimes they get offended if you call them a mere baritone. So it's a euphonium. But he was a composer and arranger for a circus and vaudeville stages, specifically for Barnum and Bailey Circus on a Europe tour from 1897 to 1902. During that time, he wrote this march, The Colossus of Columbia, and dedicated it to the Continental Congress of Washington. He had experienced a variety of other governments during that European tour. The homesick young composer must have regarded the achievements of his own America, or Columbia, as colossal in the way they managed things. So here is Colossus of Columbia March.
Thank you.
want to just take a moment and thank again our sponsors tonight, and specifically someone near and dear to the band, Miss Gladys Delano, clarinet player with the band for over 65, it was actually 66 years. To put that into some perspective, we have a couple people joining the band tonight for their first time. And if they were to play as long and as proud and as well as Gladys for that time, they would stop playing somewhere circa 2081 as a year. So just an amazing accomplishment. So thank you for all you've done for the band through all the years, world wars and everything. Thank you so much from the band to you. The second suite in F by Gustav Holst consists of four movements, all based on specific English folk songs for the most part. Movement one, March, it's made up of Morris Dance, Swansea Town, Claudie Banks. The march of the second suite begins with a simple five-note motif between the low brass and then the high instruments of the band, pass back and forth a little bit. Full tune is heard in a form of a traditional British brass band march using the Moorish dance tune Glorishears. The second strain begins with a euphonium solo. It must be euphonium night here. At least for now. Playing Swansea Town. The theme is repeated by the full band before a trio. Now the trio, he messes with us a little bit. The theme modulates to the minor key in the trio. Now, this is why he's messing with this, and he changes the meter to 6/8. Feels a little more lilting. Because normally in a march, if Sousa would have done it, he would have gone to the major key instead of the minor, and Sousa very rarely changed meters in the trio where he did. He did it most notably in El Capitan, but when you're Sousa, you can get away with all these things. Holst was still kind of young and new at that time, so he was bending and pushing the rules a little bit. Third theme is called Claudie Banks, and it's heard in the low woodwind solely, mainly predominated by the clarinets. Movement two is the song without words, but yet it's entitled I'll Love My Love, even though it has no words. The fourth folk song, I Love My Love, is quite different to the others, very melodic. So we go to the third movement. This one is much more harsh and abrasive, titled The Song of the Blacksmith. And very few pieces actually call for an anvil, like a blacksmith would use. This one has one, and there was like debate over who got to play the anvil part in the percussion section. Movement four, Fantasia on Dargasson. It's not really based on any folk songs, but rather has two tunes from Playford's Dancing Master of 1651. So another published work instead of something that was just an oral thing passed down. One of the tunes that you'll recognize is actually Greensleeves. We think of it as a holiday tune, but it's got a wonderfully stated melody in that fourth movement by the euphoniums. The second suite in F by Gustav Holst. Thank you.
Well, good evening. What a great start to this show, and we're only halfway through. Tonight's talk will be present the history of some clarinet players that covers more than a decade. We'll start with Gladys Delano, tonight's concert honoree, who played in the band for 66 years under three of its directors, and playing was obviously a passion for her. Gladys grew up in a musical home, starting on the piano at age four. In eighth grade, she took up the clarinet. By the time she was a junior, her high school band director, Harold Edstrom, encouraged her to join the municipal band. She remembered that there was only one uniform left for her, and it was way too big. I was a skinny little thing then, and the pants had to be hemmed up a whole foot and belted around the waist. Looking cool, Gladys, right? After high school, Gladys studied music at Winona Teachers College. Since most of the men were away fighting the war, she started the school's first all-female swing band and named it 10 Pretty Girls, because that's what they were. With her teaching degree, she went to Dodge Center in Owatonna, where she was music coordinator of elementary schools. After she married Danville Delano, she returned to Winona, where she taught elementary band until she retired. Soon, Gladys and Danville had three children, David, Susan, and John, all of whom became involved in music. David played trumpet, and he, along with his friend Nick Edstrom, were featured on the band folios that Hal Leonard distributed in the 1950s. John also played trumpet, and Susan became a fine flute player, but very early excelled at twirling the baton. We heard the story of her getting stuck at age four in the tar during the Lewiston Parade and being rescued by Harold, who carried her the rest of the way. She won twirling awards and was featured in Who's Who in Baton for many years. Gladys brought her family along when the band played at a county fair. Soon, son David remembers the time they asked for a volunteer for an animal trick, and the next thing he knew, there was Gladys being lifted up in an elephant's trunk. Clarinet's player picked for that. All right, teaching music was another of Gladys's passions. She often said how very early it is for children to learn to play instruments at an early age. You want to make them love it. The main thing I enjoy is so many of them stick with it. She was really proud of former students who eventually joined her in the municipal band. One of them, Ann Wenzel, stated, "It was always very neat that I got to play with and know Gladys Delano, my very first clarinet teacher. She was a great teacher and gave me the confidence to continue in music after high school." Welcome back, Ann. Gladys admonished aspiring clarinet players to wait for their first lesson before assembling their instruments. It can be a tricky process. On one first lesson, a student opened the case and Gladys saw just the black wooden tubes. "Where are the keys?" she asked. The student held up a plastic bag of them and said, "Well, I thought it'd be easier to play without these." Gladys never missed a summer playing in the band. Their family would plan vacations between Wednesday concerts. She loved marching in parades and said she didn't mind the heat or the rain. She remembered a trip to the Minnesota State Fair when it poured rain and Everett Edstrom had his band pants rolled up to his knees. In the Steamboat Days parades, flutes and clarinets occupied the last rows. Gladys always marched on the left side so she could see her family members. Frank and Ruth Burris joined the clarinet section in 1979. Frank had already played his clarinet around Winona, but Ruth's skills were unknown. A little rusty, she was somewhat intimidated by the challenging music, but hoped she could keep up. It didn't do much for her confidence when she overheard the director inquire of another clarinetist, "Can she handle the part?" Ruth was expecting their youngest son at the end of that summer and had to miss the last concert when little Joey made his appearance on a Wednesday morning. As she listened to the concert over the radio, she heard Dick Linder dedicate the piece Satin Doll to her, since she would be able to wear nice dresses again. And that is definitely an excused absence, Ruth. I just wanted you to know that. Ruth sat next to Gladys for at least 27 years, sharing fingering tips, stories, and friendship. Frank occupied the first chair and performed yearly solos with the band. Before playing, he usually took the opportunity to say a nice word or two about the director, although he knew Dr. Lindner didn't encourage it. Frank emphatically refused to march in the parade, saying, "I marched enough for a lifetime through 13 years of high school, college, and the Army band." Never a part of the Shorties gang, Frank said he needed his wits about him to play. They began a tradition of going to Rocco's for pizza and beverages following the concert. Starting with one another couple, the crowd grew during the 1980s and 1990s to almost fill the restaurant. It seemed the divided up bill always amounted to around $7 a person. But if it was particularly hot days, the extra beer, it was about $7.50. Their shared experience in the band has been very rewarding, and they fully agree with Gladys. Music is the greatest thing. Everything has music. Next week at our alumni recognition concert, we hope to have more stories from band members, past and present. And once again, weather permitting, after next week's concert, we're going to have a fireworks display over towards the hospital. Thank you very much. Back to the concert.
Well, we couldn't have a week honoring any clarinet player without featuring them a little bit, or as we're about to, quite a bit. We'll start with Dr. Burris, his annual solo. This one is Lightning Fingers, showcases the musical and technical virtuosity of the solo clarinetist in the original work by bandmaster and composer Henry Fillmore. We heard about his radio shows last year. Traditionally, this was written for Louise Retzky, whom Fillmore referred to as the Phantom Clarinetist. We are not using any Phantom Clarinetists tonight. We have two people from our section. We have, of course, Dr. Frank Burris and Mr. Jake Kesey to play Lightning Fingers.
Just two quick remarks. First, when you hear clarinets play, sometimes you hear some extra high sounds. Some people prefer to call them squeaks. They're not. You're just getting extra notes. The second remark I'd like to make is thank you. I think I'm speaking for the entire band. Thank you, Mr. Levi Lundak, for being our director this year. We really are deeply indebted to you.
Thank you.
we move to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. His double concerto for two violins has an incredible second movement. The concerto is characterized by the subtle yet expressive relationship between the two violins. We thought there would be none better to express this creative relationship and expressive relationship than to have Dr. Burris joined by his wife, Ruth Burris, and play it on clarinet instead of violin. Ruth has been working on arranging this for us and for them. We would love to perform Bach's Double Concerto, the Largo Movements, for clarinets.
Thank you.
How about another hand for Frank and Ruth? Well, we featured Dr. Frank. We featured both Frank and Ruth Burris. How about the entire clarinet section? This is an original composition by Ruth Burris for our clarinet section, Clara Noodles. It takes only one person to inspire someone to want to play and listen to music. Gladys, obviously, is someone who's inspired others, and there are band directors on this stage who continue to inspire people. Well, there's a famous band director that inspired many people or worked with many of the people in this band shell tonight. So I'm going to use some of his words in describing this arrangement of the piece. He uses his own memories. Now, one thing you need to realize that a troop is about 80 to 200 men. This arrangement is by Frederick Fennell, and he states, the Black Horse Troop March was completed December 30th, 1924 at Sousa's Sands Point on Long Island Estate. It was played for the first time about 10 months later on October 17th, 1925 at a concert of the Sousa Band in the Public Auditorium, Cleveland, Ohio. And I was there. I had not been to such an event as this one, he states. I remember that as Sousa's march was being played, a Troop A rode their horses onto the stage and stood behind the band to the tumultuous cheering of all. The March King enjoyed a long relationship with the men and horses of Cleveland's Ohio National Guard Cavalry, known as Troop A. We present The Black Horse Troop by John Philip Sousa. Thank you. Whether you first saw it on the stage of Broadway or in the movie form, you couldn't help but smile and know that the sun will come out tomorrow with a little orphan Annie. We'd like to play selections from Annie. They include Tomorrow, It's a Hard Knock Life, NYC, You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, Maybe, Easy Street, and I Don't Need Anything But You. Selections from Annie.
Thank you.
Reminder that next week before the concert will be the community picnic sponsored by Merchants National Bank. Tickets are still available. It's right down the next lodge, JC Pavilion, east of here. We hope to see you there. And then at the concert, and of course, 1 week from now, it'll be slightly darker than this for our beautiful fireworks. Thank you so much for coming. We hope to see you next week. Have a great night. We hope you enjoy America the Beautiful.
Thanks again to the Winona Municipal Band and all its sponsors. More information on the Winona Municipal Band can be found at winonamunicipalband.org and on Facebook. I'm Terry Tunsett, and you've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.